Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Welcome to Kill Me Now. I am Judy Gold. I am the host, the only host on this show. Sometimes we get feedback from someone else named Lauren.
Hennessy. Sorry.
I'm sorry. That was, I don't know what that is. So Jared is at the boards, and can you just try to cut whatever that is out?
.com.
Anyway, today's Kill Me Now. Dante, what are you doing?
I was getting into the...
Internet?
Yeah.
Okay, but you're going to be talking to me.
I know, but...
Put your phone away, Dante. Right. Be a
Dante,
gentleman.
I just screamed at someone last night on stage.
Yes. You always scream at someone.
Shut up. No, right. But I'm doing a gig.
Yeah.
We're here with Dante Nero.
Yeah.
Dante, what's the... You know, where can people find you?
At Dante Nero, DanteNero.com. On Twitter, at Dante Nero.
That's so Dante original.
N-E-R-O. Yeah.
It is, because who else has
Dante
that name?
Dante Nero. Yeah.
Nobody else has that name.
Now, Dante, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me. I love you.
I love you forever. Forever.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Forever. A lot of feedback today, Jared. A lot of feedback. Anyway, this, as you know, is Kill Me Now, and we talk about things that really piss you off.
Yes.
And but I also talk about you.
Okay.
And then sometimes Lauren Hennessy will... make a noise.
Okay.
But you know Lauren, correct?
I do know Lauren. I love Lauren.
How long? Not as, you didn't say, I love Lauren. You said, I love Lauren.
Nah, it's cool. We bros. You don't need to be like that.
You said, I love Judy Gold.
That's my dude.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Listen, Dante.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. First of all, I just want to start with a Kill Me Now moment that I had, and then we're going to talk to you about.
Okay.
Did anything happen to you on the way here that pissed you off?
No, I'm pretty, you know, I'm pretty cool. I'm a pretty easy driver.
So you don't get really pissed off?
Yesterday, like, I did.
At what?
Somebody took my parking space. Like I live like on a residential block, mm-hmm. and so the parking space, my neighborhood is becoming really gentrified.
Ugh,
and
yeah.
There's like a train, so people park in my neighborhood and then they
get on the train.
Yes. And so there's no parking spaces.
Oh no, that you're gonna have to get permits, baby.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Wait, where are you?
I'm in Crown Heights on St. Charles Place.
Ugh, and they're all taking your spots. What kind of cars?
Everything, anything you could possibly imagine.
So, here's what happened to me. I'm at the beach in Nantucket because I did a gig in Nantucket, and that place is so white.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's annoying.
It sounds.
And now it's beyond white. Everyone. Wears every guy wears that like checkered Italian tablecloth shirt.
The tablecloth.
You know what
picnic,
I mean?
The picnic
thing.
Yeah.
And khakis.
Yeah. Topsiders.
Right. So we're sitting at the beach, Elisa, my partner, and I. And so we're sitting at the beach, and I love the beach. I mean, like I could stay in the water. I love the water. Are you a swimmer? Water?
I like water, but I don't like the beach. I don't like the sand. I like a pool.
Okay. Annoying. Yeah. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and I notice there's a lot of kids, and they're quiet. I go, Elisa, these kids are really well-behaved. Mm. You know, because I'm from New Jersey. I went to the beach in New Jersey. I've had some Provincetown. It's all fucking noise, right? So then all of a sudden, this mother, the father's playing ball, and then they yell, Carson, Harrison, Charlotte, we're leaving. Right? Pack your things up. We're leaving the beach.
We're leaving.
Right. And
coming,
so,
Buffy.
And first of all, I'm like, Carson, Harrison, and Charlotte. I said, okay, fine. And all of a sudden, the kids gather their stuff.
Right.
And they're ready to leave. And they stand and wait for their parents.
Right.
They said, okay.
Okay. And they got
okay.
up. And
that is not normal. No. When your parents say, we're leaving, you go, no, I want to fucking stay here. What the fuck? I'm having the best time. You ruin everything. No, they said okay.
Okay.
And waited for their fucking parents.
Because their parents beat them.
Well, it's the
no,
other,
they have no feeling.
They're okay. waiting for the trust fund. That's what it is.
Mm. It's on the amount of money there is
the,
like billionaire.
Yes.
Like billionaire. Someone told me that they had a pilot or someone who worked for the airlines at their said that at Nantucket has the most private jets and planes than any other airport in the entire United States.
Lear jets and stuff.
Yeah.
That's almost like black preachers.
Yeah. Uh-huh, baby.
Bentleys and Lear
jets.
Yeah,
I know. I know. But anyway, so that kind of pissed me off. And then today, my mother just passed away a few weeks ago.
No, I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you. And so I've been... You can ask Lauren, who's not here, only in spirit, that I have been... I went to the wrong building today. Like, I'm really out of it. You know
just
what I mean?
It's
just like I haven't taken the time for myself since to just go, okay, this happened, and this is my new life. I've just been working, and
you
I
need
gotta,
to schedule time for yourself like it's your job.
Like, I try to. I know, and I don't.
So now, did you take care of all the arrangements and everything? You did everything?
No. My brother and sister did stuff. I took care of all of the, getting the canter. You know, I did all setting up Shiva. Mm. This is so Jewy, isn't it?
I took care of all
the emotional, and then also, you know, just the funeral. I didn't call the funeral, huh? I mean, it was all done. We're Jews. My mother had it all done. It was already done. My brother just had to make a phone call. But yes, I called. I called them to take the body and to make the time. Yes, I did everything, and I don't think it's hit me. But you know, she was 92. Now everyone, I do a bit on stage about my mother's funeral because my fucking cousin didn't eat enough and passed out in the middle of my eulogy. Anyway, right after I got a laugh. Anyway, so
selfish.
I know. Mm-hmm. And so, I haven't dealt with this.
Well, you know, it's that whole process is for everybody else,
right?
And you don't. My father passed away about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it just, and he was a guy who did, like, he did youth work, right? So he died, he was,
What happened to you then? Good night, folks! Good night! I'm sorry, go ahead.
Drop the mic?
Yeah.
He did youth work, and so, like, when you're 92, most of your friends are dead, right?
Yeah.
But he did youth work throughout his whole life.
So he had all these young... Your father was 92?
Yeah.
My mother was 92.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But how about how people say to you... oh, how old was he? And you go, 92. And they go, well, it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, what did you expect?
Yeah.
You always, yeah, you know, you always think, you know, your biggest fear is that your parents are going to die from the minute you're born. It's like, right, what the, it doesn't matter how old. Joan Rivers said that to me. She said, it doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter.
When it hits you, it hits you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how you are. It doesn't matter if they're cognitively there and, or not. It's, no, you know, it's an absence. All right. Anyway, so I find you very fascinating on many levels. Now,
thank
I've
you.
Known you for, where did we meet? At a club.
Probably at Stand Up.
Yeah.
Stand Up New York. Yeah.
And I have always adored you.
Do you remember how we met?
I think you were sitting at the No, you
was,
were sitting
at
the bar.
You came in. I was a fan before. Like, I was...
I'm sorry. Can we get that again?
I was a fan.
Okay.
I was a fan. I was a fan.
I'll, okay, God, I think we got it. We got it.
I'll clip that out.
Yeah,
play, play it for you when you're stressed.
I was a fan before I started doing comedy. I was a big... Like, when I grew up, I was the kind of kid that watched Carson.
Yeah, I know. And you... I know. I read that about you.
I was
you.
A maniac like that. I used to sneak home and look at my father's Red Fox records.
Oh, Mom's I loved Mabel, Red Fox.
Mom's Mabel.
Mom's Mabel.
Oh my gosh,
my fave.
Best. Awesome.
My
awesome.
First of all, there's no realer human being that ever went on stage.
No. And she was really a lot more controversial than people.
Oh, I know.
She was deep.
I know.
But so I was always a fan. Like, I knew, like, I knew names at, I was like in elementary school, I knew like Gary Muledeer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really obscure. God, I can't remember the dude with the who was the dude with the crazy eyes? I think he passed away.
Oh, yeah. Dennis. Oh, I opened for him. Yeah, Dennis.
Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah, the red hair. Yes.
Yes. Dennis Wolfberg.
Yes.
He was the nicest guy. He died of melanoma. Fucking nicest guy. So funny. Yeah.
But I was like a little black kid. I know these guys.
Right.
Like, I knew everybody that rolled their sleeves up, you know, that their jacket. And so I always wanted to do comedy. And then I was a male stripper for 11 years.
Right.
So I was a male stripper for 11 years. And then I started, right around the Def Jam era, I started promoting shows. So because I was interested in comedy. And I worked at like Uptown Comedy Club and stuff
right.
And so I knew Tracy Morgan and Mike Epps and Jim Brewer because he worked on that show. And I used to book those guys to open up for strip shows.
Right.
And that's how I got into, I was like, I was so into comedy.
How would I do at a strip show?
Fucking
stripping?
No, shut the fuck up.
What do you mean?
No, like if I was opening.
Oh, you do great. You got to be an in your face kind of comic.
Right. Absolutely.
And I mean, I don't know if you know that, but you're an in the face.
I am.
Yeah.
No, we need to make this happen.
I know.
Now.
We were hanging out with Louis last night, and he's like, "That's right, you do yell at everyone." I mean, there was a guy last night. I'm like, he's in the front row. I just started the premise of something I was going to talk about.
Right.
And he looks at his phone, and I go, what the fuck? Like, you cannot sit here and listen for 15 minutes, like, because you maybe don't like the topic. You have to go fucking like, I ripped him. He put his phone away, and never, he was, like, afraid to look at it. But it's ridiculous. You heard about Patti LuPone.
No, what happened?
She was in the middle of a show. Someone's like texting and text the whole time.
God, yes.
And they go out in the audience and do something. And she grabbed the woman's phone. There was another play. She grabbed the fucking phone.
Yeah.
And then there was another play where, I'm not kidding, a guy in the audience, Broadway, got up on stage during the play and tried to plug his phone in an outlet that was on the set.
I heard about this.
What the fuck is wrong with
crazy.
People? What happened?
Crazy.
What this is it fucking kills me now. I can't, like, the fact that we talk to our president the way they speak about him.
Yeah.
The way they you lie. That, first of all, George Bush stood there and fucking lied. No one it's what the fuck?
It's
I can't. All right.
Yeah,
anyway, I'll just go crazy. So you were born and bred in Brooklyn.
Well, I want to say something.
Yeah.
What's interesting about all of that and this it's because people are really useless and they don't have lives, and so they live this pseudo life Facebook and so on and so forth.
Yeah, Facebook gives a platform to people.
Sure.
And it's like I don't give a shit what you're fucking doing. Like, I don't care. You know, I was thinking the other day, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
These long emails about, I mean, Facebook posts about, how do you have the time?
Did you hear that little burpy thing?
Yeah, yeah.
How did you have the time? It was just nothing. It was just like a thing in my throat. How do you have the time to sit there?
Because you don't have a life. Here's what's interesting.
Volunteer!
As a comic, you don't have the time, and you're forced to post.
Right!
I don't want to do it at all.
Amen! I am so resentful about, you know, this whole thing. You know, now you get booked in clubs
based
on how
followers.
Many followers you have. Now, the only person I remember ever having followers as a kid was Jim Jones. Okay, that was it.
Mm.
Jim fucking Jones.
He had
Jones.
A lot of followers.
Yeah, he had a follow, and they're all dead. Okay? Yeah. I just...
And Dane Cook. Dane Cook had a lot of followers. I'm not making a comparison. Yeah. I'm just saying.
But that's how you get booked now. Not on the quality. Yeah. Like Broadway. There's so many amazing trained
actors,
dancers, musical theater. And yet it's like some fucking...
An amazing kind of observation. There's a radio guy by the name of Charlemagne. They call him. He's on Hot 97 Radio.
I know Charlemagne.
And Charlemagne grew up as a radio guy. He was Wendy Williams' sidekick for years, and he kind of came into his own. Worked through the radio. Worked his way up in radio, and then. He always wanted to be on Arsenio. Like, that was his dream, to be on Arsenio. Mm. So he gets on Arsenio, right? And there's this little fat kid named Tyrio who dances. He dances, and they go, kill him. It's just his cousin shooting him. He can't dance at all. He's fat, and he's just really serious.
Right.
He's kill him. and he went viral. The day that Charlemagne made it on Arsenio, when they brought Arsenio back, he's on there, and he goes on after Tyrio.
No fucking way.
And we're like, is this really what it is? I have friends of mine. There's a viral video where this guy just walks around, and he goes, big black guy, he's muscular. He goes, I'm here to fuck somebody's wife, long dick style. And... And he just goes to random. That's the thing. Now, the guys who did it are these guys out of Philly who they're artists and musicians, and they do graphic design and all kinds of stuff. And they did this one sketch, the long dick style, as a joke. It goes viral. Now they're pissed at their fame. Because they're famous for long dick style, and all the artwork that they did, classes, it means nothing.
Mm. Here's the thing. There's a reason they use the word viral, because it's shit.
It's a disease.
Virus. Viral. It's ridiculous. And it's unbelievable that people actually had to work for fame, before. But I resent, I haven't been on Twitter. I got to be on Twitter. I'm always calling Lauren, and I'm like, can you just do? I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And Lauren has to do it for me, even though
I don't blame you. You grow up,
especially when you're watching Mom's Maybelline prior, and you're going, let me just be funny.
But
and
what
people
about,
will love me because I'm funny.
But
and I'm talented.
Also, like, we didn't have, when I started, there was no internet. How many times have I discussed this on this podcast? But there was no internet, and there was, we had to write, and we had to get on, and
you get stoned and go to the record store and
what I was talking about, Lauren, that's another thing. Now, when I am discussing something organically, can you turn off Lauren's mic, please?
Jasmine.
Anyway, so, no, but the thing is that when you auditioned, I think you remember that time, that when you had an audition.
They still do it.
No, they would, you didn't go on tape, you didn't, finesse.
Get up on
stage. The person showed up.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. Whatever you were on the lineup, you couldn't complain.
Right.
If someone, took a shit in the audience, you still had to go on. It didn't matter.
Right.
That was it. That was your one chance. And you never knew when you were going to be on stage and someone would walk in. They don't go in anymore.
Sure.
No one goes in. They just watch Netflix or this or edited crap. And it's fucking sad.
Well, I have a theory about YouTube, viral YouTube videos. It's because I think what goes viral... is, first of all, what goes viral is usually something that has low production value,
right?
So I believe it's plagiarism. It's an opportunity to plagiarize because I call you up and I go, oh, I saw this video. It's really funny. And I send it to you.
Right.
You laugh at it. And then I get the credit for it because right. you don't know who produced the video or not. Right. So and then you send it to somebody because you think it's funny. And then you get the credit for it. But you did nothing. All you did was come across the video. And so it's an opportunity for people to claim the talent of other people, even if you want to call it talent, and if it has too much of production value, then it attaches itself to the creator.
Right.
So if it's grainy and it's kind of that's what goes viral is some grainy 12-second piece that you can steal it because you're not interested
enough to do
anything.
And then you can headline a comedy club.
Exactly.
I mean, headline. Now, Dante.
Get on Letterman.
I know.
That's happened too.
It's un-fucking believable.
Do you think it's going to swing back, though? Do you think everything changes?
Right. I cannot imagine that we will continue at this pace, looking at our fucking phones.
Yeah.
You know, just constantly, oh, I got to get this on. No one lives their life anymore. Yeah. Like, it's like everyone is always, oh, I see this. I have to take a video of it. Right. Instead of just seeing it. And having it in your fucking memory.
I didn't punch that guy in the mouth when he took my spot because I didn't want to get videotaped.
Right. Mm. It's ridiculous. You can't do anything.
You can't even punch a guy in the mouth
you
anymore.
Can't
what
even,
is
like,
the world
what about
to?
When you can call someone? You can't do prank calls. You can't. No more prank calls.
You can't do that.
You can't, like, call, you know, say, oh, my God, I
you
called
can still
you.
Do prank
I'm
calls.
In the... Stop. You cannot do prank calls without them, unless
they
you do the star, whatever. But I'm
and
just
even
saying.
Even then, they can still.
I prank call you all the time.
No, you don't.
You've never known.
Shut up. I can't. You cannot, like, call someone and say, oh my God, it was busy. I'm really sorry. Or
if they want to get you, they can get you.
You can always be found. It's fucking ridiculous. And yet. They can't find two prisoners who escaped from a fucking...
Exactly.
I mean, I don't get that.
They don't have smartphones.
You know that joke that Natterman does? He goes, somebody call me. They call me on my cell phone, and then they email me, and then they call me on my home phone. Don't you get it? I'm jerking off.
It's funny. It's fun. Rosie once got mad at me because we were texting, and then she called me. And I didn't answer. She's like, you're not allowed. That's against the rules. And I'm like, but we were at dinner with the kids, which I shouldn't have been texting anyway, but we had just sat down.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Possibly. Anyway, so you grew up in Brooklyn.
Yeah, grew up in Brooklyn.
And you are the youngest of four.
Three? I'm youngest of four. I got three older sisters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have three older... So that's why you love women, I think.
I love
women. Did you love your mother?
My mom's amazing.
My
mom lives with me now.
Oh, that's so... Yeah. Oh, Dante.
Yes. Yeah,
what about your sisters? They can't live with her? She can't live with them?
Well, my middle sister just moved in with me because she's kind of a bum.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like a 62-year-old bum.
Mm-hmm.
And she never really prepared for anything.
Right.
And so she just moved in, but...
So now it's you, your sister, and your mother.
Yeah, well, we have the brownstone. Well, it's like a sandstone,
right?
Which is that white, which is the house that you came... came to the podcast. It's... my father passed away. I got a divorce, and I was like pit stopping at home till I got divorce. And then my father had a stroke, and then I stayed and took care of my dad and my mom. And then my pops passed away, and then now I have the house and my mom. I take
how many rooms and
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, it's big.
Yeah, it's like three story. So
that's
family.
Good. How many bathrooms?
One on every floor.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I have one fucking bathroom. Anyway, but you went... are your sisters way older than you?
Yeah, well, one is actually my mother's oldest daughter. The other one is my father's oldest daughter.
Okay.
And then I have a sister, a whole...
Of your two parents.
Yeah. She's 3 years older than me.
Okay, so you got accepted to... Where'd you go...
I went, preschool, and then you got accepted to Brooklyn
Tech. I went to St. Teresa's. Right. I went to St. Teresa's, which was ended up being Holy Spirit. It was a parochial school. Then I went to Brooklyn Tech.
Brooklyn Tech. I mean, that is a really hard school to get into.
Yeah, it was one of those tests. I actually qualified for Stuyvesant, but I didn't
You did not?
Yeah, but I didn't want to go.
Oh, Dante, you're brilliant.
Yeah, I didn't want to go.
Stuyvesant is so... It's like, you know, those schools. My kids go to public school, but... Yeah. Or one of them
went. Stuyvesant, Bronx...
Bronx Science, Tech, Brooklyn Science, Tech.
Yeah.
And there's another one.
No, it's just Stuyvesant, Brooklyn Tech, and...
Bronx Science.
Three of them.
Okay. So, you know... It's like you're not, everyone's smart. It's like you cannot stand out unless you're like,
you gotta be,
you know,
a genius.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get into Brooklyn Tech.
Yeah.
No tattoos.
No tattoos then.
And, you know, what was the student body like? Were you...
It was a lot of Asian kids.
Yes.
And
Jews.
Jews and random other people.
People of color.
Indians. And a lot of brown people.
Right.
Blacks, brown, like that. Yeah.
Now, you... So, what the kids did something to you in the bathroom?
No, I went to the, like, what happens is, I don't, Westinghouse and some of the vocational schools.
Oh, yeah, they have, though. Yeah, yeah.
They used to sneak into the school.
And, oh, they did?
They used to sneak into the school. And I
That's not happening anymore.
No, I went to the bathroom and they tried to take a watch. Somebody tried to rob me from a watch. And
these are kids.
Just high school kids from another school.
It's unbelievable. Okay.
And then I wouldn't give them my watch, and then they stabbed me. They tried to stab me in the face, and I put my arm up, and the knife went in my arm.
He's showing the scar of
his
knife wound.
Okay, and did you have any residual...
On his forearm.
What do you mean? Residual.
You know, do you have any... stuff in your
arm. It just went through the meat, and it was
any
knife pieces.
And they
that isn't even funny. Okay, go.
And then I actually left school.
Mm-hmm.
I wrapped a t-shirt around it, and I didn't tell
my
mom.
You didn't go to the nurse or anything?
No, I went home, and I snuck home, didn't tell my mother, and I went on the second floor. There was a bathroom we didn't use in the second floor, and I didn't know first aid, so I just kept fighting this thing until I got the blood to stop.
Right.
And then my father went to World War II. He was in World War II. He had a
He went to that? Really?
Yeah, he went
to World War II.
He served.
Wow. My father went to World War II, too.
My grandpa went to World War II. Maybe they were friends.
No.
Maybe I know him. And he took a bayonet off a Nazi.
Right.
Oh, and he had it under the bed. And I knew he had it under the bed because anytime we'd hear a noise, he'd always pull it out.
The bayonet, here, right?
And I took the bayonet, put it in my bag, and I went back to school.
No way.
And I was looking for these guys.
Whoa.
And?
My father found the bayonet, was sticking out the side of my bag.
Okay,
and he was like,
you're really bad.
What are you doing with this?
Right.
And I was like, well... So I gave up the whole story because I was in trouble.
Right.
So
and
wow. And they transferred me from Brooklyn Tech and put me into Catholic high school. Bishop
Your
Lockland.
Parents did.
Yeah.
Because now, can you imagine what would have happened if you actually did the bayonet thing?
Yeah, but you didn't have all the cameras. I probably would have got it away with it.
You would not have gotten...
I would have got away with it.
Would you
Are you fucking kidding? Someone's like, there was a kid with a bayonet.
This was like
a 80s. Bayonet.
This was 80s.
Who has a bayonet?
People would got away with shit in the 80s.
Okay, and what were you planning on doing? Just stabbing or killing?
Warriors.
I would have stabbed him. I don't know. I mean, it was long. It's like, you know, a bayonet is like 2 feet long.
I know.
So I didn't plan on killing them, but I didn't. I probably
were you gonna just show it to them?
No, I would have stabbed them.
Okay,
I had a really bad temper.
Okay, now,
but I was a good kid. I just
and smart,
but I just bad temper.
So then you graduate. You have a fencing scholarship.
Well, my dad worked for the Parks Department. That's how he got into youth work.
Right.
And he had a friend of his who was actually supposed to go to the Olympics
in fencing
in 60s in saber.
Right.
And he knew, because my dad was this guy, he just knew. He was huge. He was only 5'2", but he had a huge personality.
Right.
He knew everybody.
Right.
And he was like, I want to take you fencing. I want you to learn fencing. And I was like, yeah, I'm in. And he took me to this guy who was supposed to go to the Olympics, and he popped his Achilles heel a year that he was supposed to go. And then he just worked for Parks and Recreation in the city, and he taught inner city kids fencing. He actually had a kid that got the first bronze medal in the Olympics.
No way.
Yeah, this kid.
You know, fencing, a lot of Nantucket-y type parents
yeah.
have their kids fence because it's really good to get into an Ivy League school.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's, and I got a scholarship. I got a half scholarship
to where?
SUNY New Paltz.
I know.
Man,
that's good.
Yeah.
Did
so,
you live up there?
Yeah, I lived up there for.
And you finished?
No, I didn't finish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what happened. I,
this is a Jewish mother. Say it again. Mm-hmm. Say it again. Did you finish?
No, I didn't finish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I...
Well, I guess that's the end of the interview, isn't it? So you couldn't finish college? All right, go ahead.
I think I didn't finish college because my father was had such a huge personality.
Right.
You'll get this.
Right.
His personality was so huge that in at home... Nobody knew my name.
Right.
I was my last name is Nero.
Right.
Everybody called my father Nero. He was like the I don't know if you know the GOAT. You know who the GOAT is?
Yeah, yeah.
The GOAT is a Harlem guy
right,
who
right.
did basketball. My father was the GOAT of Brooklyn.
Right.
So I was his son, and everybody used
was
to...
Was like, oh, you're just...
They used to call me Little Nero. That's
right.
what they used to call
right.
me.
Right, and it's also you, like you have... That's what like... Famous, really famous people, yeah. and their kids
Michael
are so
Douglas's
fucked up.
Son,
right?
Yeah,
oh, he was nice. I loved
yeah,
him. But it was always like
that's you're in that shadow,
right? I always, you know, I teach and solo performance, and Amy Stiller came to my class, and I said you have to write about because no one else can write this story
right.
about being the only non-famous person in your
in
family,
right? Right.
Like everyone has, you know, some people have a fame. She yeah. literally is the only non,
right, right,
you know, how?
Right.
So, yeah, it's bad. So,
and
all
my,
right.
my dad's kind of like, he's like a Jewish mother.
Right.
Like he was super overprotective.
Right.
My uncles, he had 16 brothers and sisters.
What?
Condoms.
My aunt, yeah. my grandmother is from Boston. She's
mm-hmm.
half. White, half black.
Mm-hmm.
She's Irish mm-hmm. And black from Boston at a time when you couldn't be.
Right,
so
of
she,
course
she
not.
Grew
so
up.
She's really black Irish.
Right, right.
Good night, everyone. I will be here all week. Tip your waitresses. Don't forget to use the side exit. I do kids' parties. Good night. Go ahead.
And so she grew up in an orphanage.
Right.
And my grandfather met her. He's from Antigua, from the West Indies.
Right.
He worked in the railroad, and he used to bootleg. He used to bootleg hooch from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he took care of the.
That's unbelievable.
And my
and when he was so he was transporting the hooch.
Yeah.
And
what year was this? Can I get
this is well,
like
my
the
dad
20s?
Was born 1920.
Oh shit!
And he's the youngest of 16.
Wow.
And so it had to be 1860s, 1880s.
Yeah, all my grandparents were born in the 1800s. Yeah. My father was born in 1916.
Wow.
So and my mother, 1922.
Yeah.
My dad's
born 1920.
For 25 years.
And he was the youngest of 16.
Yeah.
So
wow,
like he had he was the youngest boy of
yeah
season.
So all my say yeah. you're like yeah. me and I yeah. say that on stage and people are like
yeah.
but literally yeah. my grandmother was born in 1896 and
yeah.
I you know I was so close to her and she died when I was 25 but I had 25 years
right.
of a
of
woman who couldn't even vote
yeah.
you know
yeah. yeah
till she was 24 years old
yeah.
and just you know and it's funny because everyone in my family handwrites letters, you know.
Yeah, my dad has an amazing penmanship.
Yeah.
His signature.
And my grandmother said, you have to work on your penmanship.
Yeah.
But I still, you know, my aunt just wrote and said her friend of hers got such a nice letter from my sister, you know. And she said, you know, we all got this letter writing thing
mm-hmm.
from Granny.
Because right.
it's amazing. Like, all that old-fashioned
sure,
stuff, it
sure.
totally stays with you.
Sure, sure.
It's amazing. You know, and having parents who are from a completely different generation. Like, my parents were not 70s, you know, smoking pot,
yeah.
drinking martinis,
yeah.
you know. My mother was 40, almost 41. My father's almost 48
right.
when I was born. So it was like a whole different,
right.
you know.
My father, he had a... 6th grade education, had
mm-hmm.
to quit and take care of family.
Right.
They all worked, and he used to tell me how they used to collect tin foil, aluminum foil,
right.
and scrap for money, and they would go to the butchers and get the
yeah, yeah,
bologna
yeah.
rinds and
right.
stuff like that. It was,
you know what? You could run for office just telling that.
Just telling that story.
You know, that's
oh,
all
that's
they
true.
Fucking do. That's all they do. You know,
My grandfather was
they'll call you Baloney
and
Boy.
Now I'm a fucking Republican asshole.
And I'm rich
okay,
as shit,
and
right?
I'm rich and white. So, okay. Yeah. So, all right, so you do the fencing thing, you quit New Paltz like a very bad non-Jewish kid.
Well, I went to college more to get away from him than right. I did to go to college.
Did you? So you're living under the shadow of
yes.
your father. Like, you don't know who you are.
Yes. And my father ran these tournaments, and so he had every shirt in Brooklyn had Nero on it.
Right, right.
Right, because he named it after himself.
Right.
And even when I was in college, guys would come, I would go play basketball, and guys would have his tournament shirts in like I
right.
couldn't escape him.
It's amazing. So now you have, when did you get your first tattoo? Like, I'm thinking now that you had to do something to distinguish yourself.
Well, first thing is, I never told anybody my last name was Nero.
Okay.
My nickname in college was Bear.
You meant after you left?
After I left.
I mean, you needed to go find out who you were.
Plus, I was I was a really scared kid because my father was like, worse than a Jewish man. He was like, don't be going to put a coat on, this, wear a scarf. If you get sick, I'm the one that's going to have to go to the emergency
room. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I grew up, my house was five houses down from our grammar school. Five houses. So it took me 3 minutes to walk to school, 4 minutes, okay. Anytime, I'm not kidding, anytime there was like a tornado or like any kind of bad weather, anything, I'd be sitting in class and the loudspeaker, Judith Gold, please come to the front office. Your mother is here to pick you up. Like the first person there. Because I'm going to get blown away like like Dorothy. You know, Judith, go. And it was the worst. I'm like, no, I'm already like gigantic and everyone picks on me. And now it's Judith Gold, your mother is in the front office. Please. So, all right. So you go there to find out who
my
you are.
My dad used to pick me. He used to leave work with his truck, pick me up. I went to school three blocks from my house.
Uh-huh.
He used to pick me up with his truck. And then yell at me because I wouldn't wear the galoshes because she used to make me.
Oh, the galoshes! Remember the rubbers?
The rubbers. That's where
you remember? I saw someone wearing rubbers like a few months ago. I was like, are you kidding? And it looks like they have cool rubbers now.
Yeah.
Did you know? Wait, Jared's. Do you know what a rubber is?
Yeah, my sister's got metallic silver ones.
For her penis or for her shoes?
Are we talking about condoms? Or?
No, I'm talking about the rubbers on the shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Jared. Anyway, all right.
That's what I'm talking
so
about.
I know. So what was the first thing you did to, besides going to college and saying, do not just say Dante. What was the first thing you did to separate yourself and be your own person? Was it something like a tattoo?
First, I had to deal with my fear.
Right.
I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of girls. I was afraid of guys. I remember fourth grade, I got mugged.
Right.
They took my mittens, my suede mittens, and my silver ring that a teacher, I was like a teacher's, I was smart. So teachers love kids who are smart.
Let me just tell you what Mary Margaret Chalmers did to me, because that totally. So, first of all, for Halloween, did you go trick-or-treating?
Of course.
Yeah. So, my mother, she dresses me up as a UNICEF box. Okay? Could there be a nerdier outfit? Okay? Because my parents were older.
Right.
So I'm like, Mom, this is... Anyway. And then I insisted, because we didn't have lunch boxes. It was paper bag. Like, they didn't...
Right.
None of that shit mattered to them.
Right.
So I was like, can I please have a pumpkin to put my candy in? Because I used to just carry a pillowcase. Remember?
Yeah, the pillowcases.
And then you'd empty the pillowcase all over the living room floor and like just fucking be on a sugar rush and then,
trade with your friends.
Yeah, so.
What's your favorite candy, Halloween candy?
You know, I'm really
I'm a Jolly Rancher guy.
I'm a Hershey's kind of. But my father used to buy Halloween candy.
Wait, did he buy like root beer barrels?
Oh, those are good.
And black jelly
Goldenberg
beans.
Goldenberg peanut chews.
Oh, those are disgusting.
Right, so he would have a list. Like, he would buy bags and bags of candy, and he'd number them. 1, 2, 3. You pass this out first, this out second, this out third. And, like, he bought so much so he could have, like, bags 4, 5, and 6 to himself. But, you know, it was the worst because I hated those fucking people that left the candy out on their porch or, like,
everyone wouldn't answer the phone.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't answer the door. I'm like, well, that is so lazy. And
you
know some
that.
Ass. All right.
You couldn't do that in my neighborhood.
What about when they give you pennies? I'm like, what the fuck? fuck?
So or anyway, carrots.
Mary Margaret Chalmers. I'm trick or treating, and I made them buy me the pumpkin so right. I could put. You know, I wouldn't be carrying a fucking pillowcase. And she pushes me down, and I get and like you know they used to pick on me, tease me, and so she pushes me on the ground, and then I get up, and I'm like walking home, and I'm so upset, and I realize all my candy fell out of my pumpkin, and she stole it all.
Oh.
Fucking mayor, and she's like in jail now. Anyway, so go ahead.
Good
so you got
her.
Mugged. I don't know what she does. I'm just making that. But what? So all right. So
she died
ahead.
Of diabetes.
So yeah. So I had this fear. I was afraid of everything.
Right.
And then I was about 13.
And you look so fearless. That's
and
what's so. Cool.
And I am now.
Yeah.
But I realized that the fear is between fear exists between when you're posed with the opportunity. And the when you access the opportunity,
right, and what you space. how you act
right.
upon,
and and the longer mm-hmm. you wait to make the decision, the more the fear burns,
right,
which paralyzes. Which is interesting because I was a big science guy,
right.
It reminded me, you remember inertia,
yeah.
So things at rest tend to stay at
right.
rest, things in motion,
right.
So it dawned on me. That philosophically, it's kind of the same thing. So that if when I'm confronted with the opportunity, if I take the opportunity right away,
right, then you have no baggage with it.
There's no anxiety
yeah, yeah,
to
yeah.
it because you don't let the. And so that's what I started doing. I was 13 years old. I transferred to the new school.
Right.
They didn't know me.
Right.
And so they
so
were
you got a fresh start.
There were
yeah.
tough guys.
Right.
And if a tough guy said something to me, I was scared to death, but I'd punch him in the face.
Like wow.
Soon as he said something, I'd punch him in his
and
face.
And what happened?
And then they would back down.
I should have done that.
And then it was like, then it got to be like, I was the crazy guy.
Right. But you knew inside you weren't the crazy guy.
I wasn't the crazy guy, but I was the crazy guy. And I just, anything you, if you dared me to jump out a second floor window, by the time you said, I dare you, I was already out the window.
Right.
And so I never had that anxiety. And then I started to get off on the fact that everybody was like, Dante's crazy.
Right.
He's insane. And then after a while, what happens is when it's just like with comedy, you don't, you do it so much, you don't have the feet, like you don't get on, like, you know, there was a time when you first get on stage.
Oh,
yeah,
and you're anxiety, diarrhea.
And now
I can't wait to get up
like
there.
Like, I just, what?
I just want to go up there and, you know, I love it. But, okay, so when did you get your first tattoo?
I was in college. I was living with a girl, and mm-hmm. I decided to strip. Like I was a frat boy. I pledged a fraternity,
mm-hmm.
and they had
fraternity?
Omega Psi Phi.
Okay,
it's the craziest.
No
one.
Jews. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's the black. You know, it's a black letter.
Right, right.
You know how they were real serious.
Right.
So they had a strip show for where every Greek letter organization was represented.
Right.
Somebody backed out. They asked me. They knew.
And that's how you became a stripper?
And then I started doing it in college. And then when I got home, I knew friends who were stripping.
Right.
Who I grew up with from the neighborhood. And then we did a gig in Atlantic City, and I got my first tattoo.
Wow.
But the tattoo wasn't.
What did your parents say to you? Nothing?
I was, like, me and my dad didn't get along well.
Right.
Because once my father was...
Once you separated from him.
He didn't like me.
Right.
Mm. We really didn't like me.
Right.
Like, he was... I didn't really realize that
that you were an extension of him.
Or even that he was in competition with me.
Right.
So he spent his whole life telling me, I want you to be bigger and stronger and faster and smarter. And then when I became those things, and he would tell me something, and I wouldn't just
do it.
Submit.
Yeah.
I would question it, which is what he told me to do. Then he resented me.
Right.
And then he spent all of his time with all the youth in Brooklyn.
Right.
And I didn't have any time with him at all.
Right.
And this happened at around 13.
Wow.
So I spent from 13 to college trying to get his approval.
Yeah.
And then when I realized that he was in competition with me,
right.
and it bugged him when I was successful, then I used to be successful just to twist the knife with him.
Now, you became a male stripper.
Yeah.
You started an escort service.
I started an escort service, yeah.
What else? I wrote this all down.
I bounced. I fought underground fighting.
Yeah, what
I fought
the
money? Money. I started.
And you studied MMA too, right?
Well, that I mean, it was underground pit fighting, which was MMA before MMA.
It was born from that.
Yeah, right.
So you were in the OG MMA. Right.
Yeah, like I used to fight in basements and parking lots and like blood sport type shit like that for money.
Yeah.
So I became like this junkie for just challenging pushing myself.
Right.
So somebody would say, look, I got $3,000. You want to fight somebody? I go, yeah. And they you don't want to know who it is? I don't care. Let's do it.
I just want the fucking money.
Did you ever do
drugs, a lot of drugs or anything?
I wasn't I drank my first beer, really, when I was 20, 19.
Wow. You're a good boy.
I'd smoke my first joint when I was 20, and that was because I had a toothache. And I was trying to kill the toothache.
Okay, let me just say something. Number one, I smoked weed way before you.
When did you start smoking weed?
My kids. 15-ish? 16.
I was 16.
I was confronted with weed.
But it was shitty weed. It was like oregano.
I was confronted with weed in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I got the
and
good
so
shit.
Fourth grade is 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a birthday party and my father said, listen, and he used to always say, don't do drugs. He would go, he was such a Jewish mother.
Right.
He said, they ever try to, push drugs on you, just say you have an upset stomach that you feel like you're going to throw up and stand by the birthday cake. And he said, they will get you out of it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Right.
Well, see, said some right things. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I remember you.
Yeah.
No.
What? Ugh. Yeah, I pass you notes so that you don't
have
to interrupt.
The note is like 10 minutes. No way. All right. In a minute. Anyway, I mean, I didn't even take my pills yet. So.
I want to tell you about these clothes I got too recently.
Oh, okay. Great. Anyway, what kind of underwear do you wear?
Boxer briefs.
Yes. Me too.
Yeah, it's the best.
It is the best.
Most comfortable.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I wear Jockey French cut, and they're so hot.
Oh, my God, no. You're doing it all wrong.
I know. All right, let me just tell you guys something. We have an advertiser, and we're trying to, organically talk about
it. No. Let me organically talk about this, though.
But wait till the organic. I have to ask.
He did not
you can
to
have
say
an
organic.
Orgasm.
This underwear has changed my phantom balls for life.
No, it hasn't.
Oh, my God. It's so good. The boxer briefs,
I told you I wanted to try them before you.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. It's for boys.
I know, but I don't know. But they have t-shirts and stuff. Well,
no. I want to go on the site with you because I think there is some stuff you'd like on there. And I think even you would like some of the undies. Like, they have different
the
styles
stuff.
And stuff. They have, like, these packs. Okay, I'm sorry. It's called Mack Weldon. All right?
Right.
This is the company, MackWeldon.com. They use this, like, really nice jersey fabric. It feels, like, blinky all over your skin.
It's really soft.
All kinds of undershirts and underwears. Yeah. They sell these awesome, like, packs, like starter packs.
Uh-huh.
And it's got this is what I have. It has a t-shirt and your choice of whatever undies you want and a pair of socks that have this little cushiony bed at the bottom and it's like
I want those.
It's awesome. And
here's what they do. It's like some.
They also have a pride pack. Sorry, I'm really excited. They have a pride pack where they throw in a whole bunch of different styles of underwear, all different colors, and they make some of their clothes with silver. This is the only time I get to talk. They make some of their clothes with silver because silver is like a natural odorizer. Or
yeah, you better.
Yeah.
Do that.
Oh, really? Hey, what can I say?
It's called Mack Weldon, and with promo code Kill Me.
You can go to MackWeldon.com.
Yeah, or you can go to JudyGold.com/Mack, M-A-C-K, and listeners get 20% off their entire order. But I have to tell you, they do like this thing where they, fabric is always rolled up and then they unroll it and make their thing. They make sure the fabric is unrolled for 18 hours before they cut it so it fits better. It's not like it's really good.
It fits perfectly. It doesn't wrinkle. If you don't like it, they'll give you your money back. They'll exchange it for you.
You wear an undershirt, it will stay tucked in.
You don't even have to send it back. They'll just, they're like, all right.
Get a pair of good underwear. When you get a pair of good underwear.
I know.
Oh, God.
And this is the
amazing.
Other thing. Sometimes I'll wear a Spanx or something, and it rolls. When it rolls over your fat fucking stomach?
Sure.
I want to kill my... Anyway, this stuff has a no-roll thing, but I cannot stand when it rolls down and you feel like, oh my God, my underwear's falling off.
And you know, you could, you might want to get a couple things for Henry and Ben. It is a, it's a men's clothing line, but I don't know. It's, you know, as,
well,
a, as,
now,
a, as a dude with titties...
Men's clothing is fluid.
That's, I mean, that's true.
Mack Weldon, everyone. Mack Weldon, go on judygold.com/Mack.
Use code kill me.
Use code kill me and you get 20% off.
Yeah, I mean...
70%, over 75% of guys say it's better than anything else in their drawer. Oh! Anyway, so...
Makes me feel like more of a
man. Can I just finish this story now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you going to go the Mack Weldon thing?
Yes, I am.
All right, anyway, so... So good. Now I forgot what we were talking... Oh, so I remember you...
Yeah.
...in the Verizon truck.
Yes.
Now, I... You used to work on the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
And... I would always see you, and we would just hang out and talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah. And then I would... All, you know how it started, though? I was a fan, and I was...
I'm sorry. You, what did he say?
You were going... Yeah. I always loved you. And I was a big fan. And you finished your set. I watched your set. And then I was like, you need a ride, Judy? And then remember we drove in my have a Tahoe. I used
right.
to drive, and then I dropped you home and we talked and I was like picking your brain about comedy and stuff like that. I was like a real student of it. You
yeah,
know?
You're it's fun. You really look. You did it. Yeah. I have to say you did it. You
oh,
did.
Thank you.
You did
that
it.
Means
you,
a lot.
You separated from your father and
yeah.
and in such a way that. You've tricked people
in
by
way.
The way you look.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they see you and they think they're getting one thing and they're getting something so the polar opposite.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing. You know
Thank
what I mean?
You.
I that just, is, I love it. I've
that loved, means so much to me.
No, it, but it's absolutely true. And then, you know, you did have the radio show with Patrice.
Yeah.
And you do get a lot of shit for the. Stuff you say about women.
Yes.
Now you do, I know you love women
sure.
and respect women and
sure.
that you, you know, three sisters and a mom.
Sure, sure.
Do you ever feel guilty talking like that?
Well, here's what it ultimately becomes. It's I think what happened with Patrice was a let's be honest, Patrice was not the most attractive person and he was a
what?
Big dude and he was fat.
Yeah.
And so he had a bitterness
right.
for women that I didn't really have.
Right.
I never had a problem getting laid.
Right.
I had my first threesome when I was 18.
Before you even had a beer.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had my first threesome by right. accident. It
right.
was accident. And
yeah,
so,
I you know what?
Oops.
Often threesomes happen by accident. It, you know, I just, can't tell you. I've had
go with the flow.
I can't even think of it. I've had group sex, you know, and it just happened by like I'm in the subway, and then all of a sudden,
bam!
Everyone is just boom. It's like oh, wow!
Right on the platform.
I love this. Is you know?
Yeah, give me your third rail, baby.
There's a part of this that I think we're missing out. My mom. She's like the angel, but she's such a sweet,
right,
sweet
right,
lady.
Right, right,
And she used to babysit kids.
Right.
Like, that was her job. They
right.
used to come in our house and, like, sometimes
right.
10, 12 kids.
Right.
She would even get them, like, right after the hospital where they
right.
were just on formula. And so she did that even before I was born. And so I used to, when I was 11, I used to hang out with older kids that she had raised.
Right.
So I was 11, they were 17 and 18 and so on. And she trusted them because she raised them. But
mm-hmm.
you can never trust a 16, 17, 18 year old kid.
Right, right, right.
So I used to go, they lived around the corner from me and they all watched pornography, smoked weed, drank beer and just watch porn all day.
Right.
And they always, so I was 11 and they were like, listen, let me tell you something. If you don't eat your girl's pussy, she can be taken.
And oh was, my God.
And I was like
that
11.
That is so lesbianic.
I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm in fourth grade, fifth grade, trying to talk some little girl in
oh,
the eating
oh
her out.
Oh my
right?
God.
Because they're. You know, and
right.
that was,
what you think is, yeah.
That was my reference. And my dad was old school, cause, so he didn't, I didn't have a,
right.
like, I got a talk with him at 17.
I never got a talk.
I lost my virginity when I was 11.
What?
I was 11 years old.
How was it? Horrible, right?
Well, I mean, I don't even really know how it was, because all I had was pornography in my head.
Right, right, right.
And so I
now, so do you think that has tainted your... view of romantic sex.
No,
versus,
no, not at all. Not at all. When I became a stripper, then I did, was just like, I was like, you know how men objectify women.
Right. You were objectified.
Right. So I could just, I could tell her, meet me outside, and she would.
You know, I have a deaf, like, I Patrice was funny.
Yeah,
and
he was a beast.
And I didn't agree with a lot, sure. But he was funny, you know, yeah. And I respect him for that. But, you know, and his anti-woman stuff, quote unquote.
Right.
You know, I feel like I love men.
Right.
I am a lesbian, but I love men. I love my father. I love my kids. I have definitely an inner anger for the entitled male, especially the entitled white male.
Right.
That comes from, you know, watching men, like, that's my rage and anger, like the injustice of that.
Sure.
And so his injustice came from a place that is so vastly, it's the same sort of feeling.
Yeah.
But it's less palatable on so many levels.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think he was as likable.
Right,
either.
That's what I mean.
So he was abrasive and funny, and I think he liked the fact that you didn't like him, but he could still make you laugh.
Right. And so, that is so, when you think about it, when
difficult.
Comedians go make people laugh because they want to be loved and appreciated. And here's someone who's like, I don't care if you like me, but I care if you laugh.
Right.
And it's...
And he was really a sweet guy.
I know.
Like, he would throw a barbecue and spend $3,000
on
steaks and shrimps and invite everybody.
Sure,
he'd shit on everybody when they got there, but he'd be cooking all day.
Right.
I mean, he was really, and I think he really loved women. I think he resented the fact that women didn't love him
the way he wanted to be loved.
In the beginning of his upper. So I didn't really have
that
bitterness.
But I had that too. Yeah. I mean, I was always this big, I'm large.
Right.
You know, it's really hard to look different, and it's unbelievable. That's why I love the way you look. That you look so much. It's so beautiful that
you are
because
so
you're
much.
Like 100% human.
And
being.
And you know, even the stuff that I say is a lot of it is for entertainment value.
Right.
But the fundamentals of it, I really believe.
Truth.
So it's like even when Lauren came on, like Lauren's like a dude.
Lauren is a dude.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's a. So it's not like when I talk to her.
She's a he.
She's a he. When I talk, when we kick it, it's just like I'm talking to a dude.
Right.
So it's. But there are.
That's the same with me, which is why it's frustrating. It's
but
like
there's
talking
a,
to my kid.
But there is a. And here's the reason why I had Lauren on. Because I wanted to make the distinguish not just between male and female, but masculine and feminine. Which is happens in lesbian relationships as well.
Can I just say one thing I don't forget? My partner Elise is a therapist, and she and I've read a lot about this. Believes that people with, you know, like the really butchy woman and the very feminine people with assigned gender roles, like I'm the male-ish. You know, I'm the female-ish, have better relationships because their roles are clearly defined.
Exactly.
I think that people are born naturally with more of a masculine energy or a feminine energy, and I think that those two energies are magnetic. I think that that's why oftentimes you look at straight couples, it'll be either the woman that, quote, wears the pants or the man, but one will definitely be more feminine and more masculine. It's the same with gay couples. You usually don't have two people, no matter what orientation they are,
that
are both really masculine or both really feminine.
But gender identity and sexual and who you're attracted to are completely separate.
But those two things are also separate from feminine energy and masculine from femininity and masculinity. I could be the most feminine person in the world. I could be cock crazy, wear dresses and heels. I'm still a dude. That's still my gender.
Here's something that I kind of
maybe
just,
I'm gay.
I'm
feminine
because I was like, you know, like as a guy, you keep track of how many women you slept with, right? Well, I stopped keep counting at 32. Right. When I was 32 years old.
Humble brag.
Right. So
I stopped counting at 132.
I stopped counting when I was 32 years old. Yeah. At 32, I was at 1,400 women.
What?
Because
are you fucking kidding? kidding me?
But it
and
was,
you have no STDs. No,
I mean, I had chlamydia, and I had chlamydia twice. God. But I know. I mean,
now I got to get checked, Dante.
Ooh,
but it was a. You know, like you're talking about. You know, like 80s, 90s.
I remember.
That's what you fucked.
Yeah, I know. I didn't fuck. That's the difference. I just wrote jokes and went on the road.
But it's not like I brag about that. It's just the fact that because
I was
a stripper, and because I was objectified, and when you're a woman and you're objectified, you learn to say no. When you're a guy and then you're thrusted into
you have to say yes.
Everything is yes.
Or you're gay.
Right.
You know?
And I've had that where women that I didn't want to sleep with, they would go, what, are you gay? And
I don't want to sleep with you.
I just don't like you.
Wait,
you
know? Did you ever sleep with a guy or do anything with a guy?
No, never. Never.
Me neither.
Oh, shut up.
It's the first time for anything.
Oh my God, I'm getting...
I love you, Paul.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now, we have to cover certain things.
Okay.
That,
sure.
But I find you. I want you to come back because I love
back.
You, and I want to do yours.
I want you to do mine.
All right,
because I think
when you were just this is my last. Yeah. So you were married for how long?
I was about 7 years.
Seven years. Did you ever cheat?
Yeah, I did cheat.
How many times?
Probably the whole thing.
Does she know?
Kind of.
Okay, so
maybe
what,
not the magnitude.
But when you were cheating,
yeah.
Was there any feeling? Did you still love your wife?
Yes, absolutely.
It was a different thing.
She was the
thing.
Woman that I was going to spend the rest of my life with.
And how do you feel? What is your view of men cheating? Like, I understand that most men cheat.
Right.
And a lot of gay guys I know.
Cheat, too.
Well, they are just... honest
open
about
relationships.
It. They're open about it.
Right,
they're
right.
Like, I love you. You are my partner forever, but we can have sex
but
with other people.
I gotta
people.
Fuck that guy.
So, was there ever any emotional attachment, like with your wife, to these other women?
What do you mean? Well, here's the thing. My wife initially liked girls too.
Right.
And so we used to do threesomes.
Wait, what's her name?
She's Swaine Little.
Oh, I knew it! Remember when we had... No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
She
we ran a train on her.
She was on the train with us.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
She was into women too, and so she used to bring
women
home.
Oh, okay.
And that's... And then... So there was kind of always kind of this kind of multiple thing. When I met her, she was in a relationship with a girl. Like full blown, like they used to wear hats, dress up alike each other, like that kind of femme.
Right.
And that's why feminine and feminine doesn't last.
Exactly.
So,
and they brought me in, like, to spice up their relationship.
Right.
And I ended up sleeping with both of them.
Right.
And they broke up, and I was sleeping with both of them outside of that.
Right.
And then I stopped sleeping with one, and I ended up marrying my wife.
How was that wedding?
We just went to the Justice of Peace.
Yeah, that's
we were
like
together.
That.
We were together, right. And I just felt like this is the woman. How am I going to not be with her?
Right, right, right.
I always say I use it like it's the like she was my couch.
Right.
Like it just was. How
that
could
was
I not?
Your comfort. Yeah.
How could I not?
That was
have
your soulmate.
Couch?
Yeah. Right. So, what pisses you off? More than anything, like what is where you like?
Here's the thing. It's funny because I with like all the police brutality and being a black man and looking the way I look.
Right.
Not so much now because I'm older, but I used to get my car tossed for drugs twice a month.
Ugh.
So there's things that I've experienced, racial things, police brutality stuff.
It's just unbelievable. Like my son Henry,
yeah.
His roommate and his best friend is DeAndre. And I asked, I said, DeAndre, do you get, like, he's the greatest guy.
Yeah.
Like, who fucking, you know?
DeAndre would be of color.
Yeah, we know
oh,
that.
Oh, right.
We know that, though.
Anyway, so.
That's my job, Dante.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I know, and it's so awful, but I'm like, do you get your backpack? Yep, all the time.
Here's why you
I
know.
I see white
you get
kids
it.
Who are fucking so scary,
yeah.
You know, and yet.
I am, like, here's what's crazy. White guys are four times more likely to have drugs on them.
Right.
Black guys are 9 times more likely to be frisked and pulled over.
Of course, right.
So here's what's interesting. There's a whole dichotomy of this. Like, for instance, prior to Ronald Reagan, that douchebag, and him and the war on drugs.
Well, he did really well with AIDS, too, as well.
Yeah, right. Exactly. 180,000 people died because
he couldn't even fucking say the word.
Until Rock Hudson, his boy, died.
Right, right.
And Denny Turner. So the fact that they talk about him like he's a god, he's a piece of garbage.
I know.
So, but the war on drugs, prior to the war on drugs, 80% of all the people were in prison were white, 20% were brown people. But that was because there's more white people in America than there are black people.
Right.
16% black,
right.
The rest white.
Right.
So, so it just would stand to reason that because blacks and whites they do crimes at the same rate.
Right.
After the war on drugs, it instantly, in the course of 3 to 4 years,
right.
It changed 80% black and 15%
right.
other.
Right.
And on top of that, the prison compound went from 350,000 people
right.
to 2 million
right.
in the course of... So quintupled.
We have more people in jail than any other place in the world.
But here's the thing. This is the same thing. If you know anything history about this stuff, Jim Crow,
right.
The Jim Crow era was a way to keep people slaves
right.
even after they freed
right,
the slaves.
Right, 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 right.
The prison complex, the mass incarceration is just another form of Jim Crow. Because
right.
here's what happens. You have black people, you take 80% of all the people who,
right.
80% of 2 million people.
Right.
And you lock them in prison. The minute, now here's what happens. You get arrested, you get pulled over, so you get a taillight or whatever.
Right, right, right.
A cop can give you a desk appearance. They don't have to book you and
right,
take you
I
in.
Know, yes.
But what they do is they antagonize you. And then they arrest you.
Right.
Then you don't put your arm behind your back quick enough. Now you've resisted arrest.
Right.
Now they rough you up. Now you fight back. Now you've assaulted a police
right,
officer.
Right, right. Like the Sandra Bland
right.
thing.
So
yeah.
Now it becomes a taillight becomes or a right turn becomes... felony.
Gotcha. Right.
Now, once you become, if you look at constitutionally, when you become a felony, Constitution says that you are a slave of the state.
Right. And you can't vote.
You can't vote. You're biased against residency,
right.
employment, and stuff.
Right.
So you become this subculture.
Right.
That you can't do anything, so you can't even act upon the system,
right?
That to change it,
it's right. all planned, all part of the plan.
It's all planned.
I know.
But here's the thing that gets me: white males keep saying, "Well, you don't want to get locked up, don't do crimes,
get a
you
job."
Don't, you don't want to.
What? There's so many white collar fucking crimes. I can't even believe these people at these banks. It's like, ugh.
And I get it. I'll send you this clip. There's a guy, Baltimore police.
Is it going to go viral?
It probably yeah. not.
Well, that's how viral videos are good, though, right? Yeah. They're showing yeah. us this shit. Right.
But there's a Baltimore police. He worked through the police department
right.
to get his master's degree, and he left, and then he blew the
right.
whistle. Basically, what he said was he was in the police force. It's us against them.
Right.
Them, me, and black males,
right.
16 to 25.
Right.
He goes, he lived in Connecticut, but
right.
so he got moved. He wanted to get moved. He was working in urban
right.
areas. He got moved to a rich white neighborhood.
Right.
And he goes, now I'm policing this area.
Right.
But I still have to have arrests. But I'm not going to arrest some white kid whose father's a judge.
Well, of course not. Right.
So then he would go out of district to the urban areas, lock up kids, and then put the paperwork in his district. Because when a police officer is talking to you, and this is how at least black people look at it, if they're talking to you, they're trying to get an arrest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because their rank and their pay is based on getting an arrest.
I know.
So they're not looking to help you. They're talking to you so that you incriminate yourself.
Right, right.
So,
and what about that defense? All right, we have to go because we're so late. But what about that defense of the I'm the privilege defense where the kid didn't know? Remember?
He didn't know.
white kid, and he was drunk driving. He caused.
Oh, he didn't know what was. Yeah,
yeah. He's true. He lives in a bubble, so he doesn't. Yeah, that's fucking fine.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, the thing that bugs me more than anything is I get that as a white man, you don't experience that. But just because you don't experience it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Right.
Like you can't.
Well, now you've experienced it, and here are the repercussions.
Right.
And that's the thing. And this is why gay people and Jews and you they get it because dead. They have that. They experienced that.
All the women the
and women. And
from
women.
The, I know.
Oh, God.
But the fact that you get people that say, oh, these savages, these. But
right.
What's interesting is this is the same thing that they were saying during the Reconstruction period.
Right,
during
right, right.
Jim Crow. And I had an argument with this guy, Gavin McGinnis. I don't know if you know, he's kind of a right wing dude or whatever. And I said, you know what's interesting? I said, you were wrong. I said, white men were wrong about the Native Americans and their land. You were wrong about the railroads and the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
You were wrong about the internment camps of Japanese. You were wrong about slavery. You were wrong about Jim Crow. You were wrong about the abuse of blacks in the 80s, the police abuse around the Giuliani time. I go, you were wrong about the FHA loans and the VA loans.
Right.
I go, and now all of a sudden, in 2015, you're right.
Right.
You have never been right in the course of history.
Right.
What your opinion is, you're wrong about women's rights.
Right.
And everything else. You're wrong about gay rights.
Right.
You're always wrong.
Right.
So how do you think, if you're a gambling man and you bet on a guy who's been wrong throughout history, how about just giving somebody the benefit of
the doubt? Right, right. It's infuriating. Yeah. That is definitely Kill Me Now. That was a really good Kill Me Now moment.
Yeah, literally.
And I get
a lot
it.
Of
and
ways.
You forgot the Jews, but it's fine. Because we were treated like shit.
Sure.
Oh,
they came, that St. Louis, the ship that came over,
absolutely.
And that Franklin sent it back, and all those Jews died.
How about this? The Americans didn't enter the World War II till late.
Yeah,
you didn't
I know.
Get in till late.
May I? Sure. Another callback to viral videos, okay?
And then
World
we
War
have
II.
To go.
Right. It's only because reporters started going over there and sending pictures and video over, and that
right.
started
That's
going
what I
viral.
Said. That's what I so, said. I said if we had this kind of technology, the world would be so fucking different.
Double-edged sword.
If you're
sword,
wrong,
double.
If
bayonet.
If you're wrong all bayonet. The time in history, you have never been right about anything.
Right.
You know, when Wallace stood in front of the school and said, this nigga
right.
will never come into the school
right.
over my dead body, you were wrong again. But this time, in 2015, when all, you're right. Now you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, now you're all,
it's
yeah.
fucking
yeah.
absurd.
Yeah, wake up. Wake
right.
up, everybody. Wake
we
the fuck up.
We ask everyone this question before they leave the Kill Me Now podcast.
Okay.
Are you on any antidepressants? What medications are you on?
Not the fun ones.
Nothing.
I told you we had a bet. I said Dante doesn't take anything,
and I said he may take pills for his knee because
yeah,
I know you just had surgery.
I won, Lauren.
But that's it. Yeah.
I won, Lauren.
You always
killer.
Win,
now,
Judy.
Now this is the first time I've ever done.
You're the
this.
Wiener,
really.
I am taking my pills
on.
What do you
air.
Take?
Okay, so
everybody,
let me show
there's
you.
An orange one. There's a
okay,
little white
so,
round one.
Here
I have
go.
Bottles
there's
and bottles
one.
Of gabapentin if you need it.
Oh, I have that too.
Okay.
It's all right. That's for my
there's
knee surgery.
A smooth.
So, can you
egg like?
There's
one.
An orange one here. That's methylfolate.
And
it's
what's
a
that for?
It's a vitamin slash. I don't know. Look it up. it's a vitamin kind
okay.
of thing. This is D3, which is also a vitamin.
Okay.
This is biotin. This is B12, and this is biotin for your hair and
okay.
your skin and nails.
What's that blue one? I want to know
I'm
what
coming,
that
is. I'm coming. This is a naproxen for my knee for anti-inflammatory.
Okay.
You want the blue one?
No, no, no. What is it?
I
the
want
blue
the blue one.
The blue one is Wellbutrin. A small dose.
What's
of
that
well,
like?
Anti whatever, depressant, anxiety.
Okay.
Methylfolate, for all the listeners out there, is another word for folic acid.
Yes, folic acid.
Okay.
This is progesterone, which is, I'm on the patch Okay. Because of menopause and stuff, which I got so fat. Mm. So you have the patch, the estrogen patch, and then you have to take progesterone so your hormones are... Oh, yeah. And then this, my friend, is Ritalin.
Really?
Ritalin. I have very bad ADD. I have been lowering my dosage of Ritalin because it does make me hyper. And I do love that high from getting... I'm only taking half now. Mm. And that's just my daily. That's
do you take
the morning. That's my morning.
Let's be honest. There's a lot of vitamins in there.
Yeah, but that, and then at night, I have the trazodone to sleep. Mm. And Paxil.
You do yoga?
I do. I meditate a lot,
right?
Which is why I think I'm able to now get off the Ritalin.
You ever try yoga? Like,
yeah, I have a knee replacement, and the other one needs to be replaced. But Lauren gave me this video, and I do this yoga, whatever stuff I can do. But I spin. I am very active.
Yeah.
I used to run, but yeah, I suffer. I have suffered my whole life from debilitating anxiety.
I want you to try that DDP yoga. If anyone listening has ever tried DDP yoga, you have it?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I do it.
Is it?
It's awesome. It's high static tension.
Yes.
From movement to movement, you stay in full tension as you're moving.
Yeah, I'm always in full tension. That's
true.
The problem.
And it's like a hell of a workout because it's static.
It's good for people with surgeries and things, right?
Yeah.
Like with...
Well, that's you know that's what that? they how they got what do you call it what's the I can't even think of the exercise
Pilates
I do Pilates too
people in service used to do that as recovery
makes sense.
That's where it came
right,
from.
That's really great. Anyway, Dante,
yeah.
We have so much more to talk about.
I'll come back. I love it.
All right. And can I come on yours?
Yes, absolutely.
Face? Can I come on your face? No.
Absolutely. You do that too. I like a little squirt. I deserve it.
I'm a mother.
A MILF.
Which means you fucked.
No, I didn't fuck. It's called artificial insemination.
Yeah, you fucked though.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
When?
You,
all right,
you
when
just
I
fucked
was...
your partner. Yeah.
Whatever, I did have sex with a guy. But in college, I hated it. Anyway, Dante, what are your things again?
You can hit me on Twitter at Dante Nero. You can check out my podcast at beigephilip.com. You can check me out at DanteNero.com.
And
I'm on, I had eight episodes of Blacklist. On
So. Yeah, fuck you.
I'm on episode 156 of the Beige Philip Show.
Yes,
if you would like to. Yeah,
and I'll be on episode whatever.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely, right. You know I want you on.
I love
you to death.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
me. You're the
me.
Best.
No, you're
the
best.
Best.
I love you much. Mm-hmm. I do.
Am I the best?
No.
Oh.
All right, bye everyone.
Bye.
Everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.